Hey Steve, how's it going?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Sorry, I forgot I had my headphones plugged in for a second.
Not a problem.
So like I said, I will hang out. I'll kind of monitor to make sure that everybody gets in and they're not kind of in that pending status in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
I have the recording going already. So I think we should be okay. Now it's just a matter of getting everybody connected. Like I said, I'll hang out. Let's see. I'll keep track of attendees. At the end, I believe we can get a report of attendees, those that have okay. registered and attended. So I'll make sure to get that to you along with the transcript and everything.
Perfect.
But if you guys have any questions, feel free to use the chat in Zoom, or I think you still have my cell number, hopefully.
Yep.
So feel free to text or call me if you seem to be running into any issues.
Okay. I'm going to go help Jane get out.
Okay.
You have the email, Jane? Yes.
Steve, are you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. I'm just helping Jane get in.
Okay, no problem.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, what's up?
Can you enable the screen sharing?
Absolutely. Yep. You can share all panelists. So you should be good.
Okay. Oh, I don't think it's on.
Okay, how's the volume now?
That sounds good. I can hear you, Jane.
Okay.
And I do see your screen, Steve. One question for the proposed, I guess for the budget session and the Board of Ed meeting, are you going to want the public to use the Q&A feature to be able to ask any questions, or are you just going to still say email those questions if you have them?
I think we want them to email them if they have questions.
No problem. I won't turn that on, so that shouldn't be a problem at all.
Okay. Now, are we live with the public?
No one has joined yet. We have zero attendees right now.
Okay.
But they should be able to start coming into the session right at 6:30. Because that was the scheduled start time. And this is recording to the cloud, just like our other meetings were. So after you guys wrap up tonight, this will transcribe the meeting for you. And I'll give you the video recording of the session as well, just like we did before in a Google folder.
Very good. I don't think you're echoing. Am I echoing?
I can hear you there and I can hear you here, but other than that.
Okay. Do you have any issues with the fact that Steve and I are in adjacent rooms and there's an echo, Derek?
I'm not hearing any echo. You guys sound pretty good to me.
Okay, thanks. Derek, are we on?
You should be all set to start whenever you're ready.
Good evening, everyone. We welcome you to the Belleville-Henderson Central School District budget hearing on the proposed budget for the 2020-2021 school year. The presenters for tonight's budget hearing are Steve McGovney, our business manager, and Jane Collins, superintendent. We would like to begin with the Board of Education goals. Our Board of Education approved the following goals for the 2019-2020 school year. These are long-term goals. Number one is the Board of Education would like to encourage each student's development of their natural skills and guide them to excel in a vocational trade, academics, or both. Goal number two, the Board of Education understands that only through teamwork, cooperation, and understanding will administration and staff be able to accomplish goal number one. Goal three, the Board of Education will maintain a strong fiscal responsibility to the school and community, understanding that programs may be necessary to help develop goals one and two. Goal number four, the Board of Education would like to extend an invitation to the community for their input, involvement, and support for our students and welcome ideas that will enhance goals one, two, and three. And goal number five, the Board of Education encourages each student to participate in extracurricular activities, understanding that our sports, FFA, music, and other clubs help to make a well-rounded individual. The 2020-21 budget vote has specific changes that are in accordance with the governor's executive orders. Executive Order 202.26 states, on Friday, May 1, 2020, Governor Andrew Cuomo issued Executive Order 202.26, which modifies the rules under which school districts are to conduct 2020 annual meeting for the election of school board members and budget votes. To view this executive order, please visit the website on your screen. The date of the budget vote and election. The executive order states that the date for the annual budget vote election will be Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. There will be no in-person voting. The executive order directs that the vote and election be conducted by an absentee ballot process. There will be no voting at the polls for this year's annual budget vote and election. Additionally, executive orders directs the following: mailing of absentee ballots. Absentee ballots were mailed by the district. No application is needed. The absentee ballots were mailed the week of May 18th. If you do not receive an absentee ballot and would like one, please contact the district clerk, Sally Cole, by emailing her at skohl@bhpanthers.org or by calling the district clerk at 315-846-5826. The last day for you to request a ballot to be mailed to you is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. Mail your completed ballot to the office of the clerk in the pre-addressed postage paid envelope provided with the ballot. In order to be counted, absentee ballots must be received in the district office of the clerk by 5 o'clock p.m. on June 9th, 2020.
Who can vote? A person meeting all of the criteria, all of the following criteria: a citizen of the United States of America, someone that is 18 years of age, and a legal resident within the district for 30 days preceding the meeting or election at which he or she offers to vote. Generally, residence is acquired by physical presence within the district combined with an intent to remain. The Commissioner of Education is held that to demonstrate that an individual has selected a particular location as his or her residence, that individual must both actually reside at that location and intend that this location be his or her permanent residence. In simple terms, it means your domicile. Decisions of the Commissioner of Education over the years have made clear that this means more than merely renting an apartment, owning property in a district, or even sleeping in a rented room. The Commissioner of Education has also made it clear that seasonal or summer residency is not by itself sufficient to constitute permanent residency for purposes of voting in a school election. According to the Commissioner, residence is where a person maintains a fixed, permanent, and principal home to which the person, wherever temporarily located, always intends to return.
Highlights from the 2019-2020 budget include summer school in the summer of 2019 for grades K through 8. Academic intervention services after school instruction was increased our academic opportunities for students. Implementation of one-on-one devices for student use. This was great planning on the district's part, because what it did is it allowed us to have enough Chromebooks on hand so that we could provide students with Chromebooks during the school closure at their homes. So we were very happy that the budget allowed us to purchase those and we could send them home with the students. The Utica National 2019 School Safety Excellence Award was received by the district for the 17th consecutive year. That illustrates our safety practices here at Belleville Henderson and how our Utica National Insurance Company recognizes all that we put into school safety. For the fourth year in a row, the U.S. News and World Report has noted that Belleville Henderson is among the best high schools in the United States. Something to be proud of. Additionally, six members of the FFA earned their Empire degrees. The drama was a great success, Little Shop of Horrors. Students did a great job with that. And once again, Mrs. Shear did a wonderful job directing that. And our music director was very, very good as well. Soccer, the girls and boys varsity teams both made sectionals. Boys won the Frontier League Class D title. Our varsity cheerleaders took the Section 3 championships again. And the boys varsity basketball made Section 3 playoffs.
This current slide shows the expenditures for the 2020-2021 school year. So you can see 45% of the expenses go towards instruction, 14% towards general support, 11% towards debt service and interfund transfer, 24% to employee benefits, and 6% for transportation. This results in a total budget of $10,989,021. This is a total increase of 3.2% in relation to the 19-20 budget. Some of the items included in the 2020-2021 budget are CSEA contractual increases, the Belleville Henderson Teachers Association contractual increases, which includes a new five-year contract with the association. We are looking to purchase two new buses next school year, one large bus and one small bus that is also wheelchair accessible. We're also looking to increase transportation costs for additional runs to meet safety standards due to COVID-19. For technology, we're also looking to purchase new Chromebooks and additional softwares in order to continue our one-to-one device initiative and to meet potential needs due to COVID-19. The budget also includes expenses for cleaning equipment and supplies to help with the cleaning and disinfection of our school. Because of this, we're adding a cleaner position to our staff in order to meet the cleaning requirements for the upcoming school year. In addition, we're also including materials and supplies for students at the beginning of the school year to offset teacher requirements for classroom supplies. We have a capital outlay project to address HVAC and mechanical issues in the found in the 2015 building condition survey. For debt payments, we'll be adding payments for our 2017 capital project and a BOCES capital project. In addition to this, health insurance rates are increasing by 1.75%, and TRS rates are increasing from 8.86% to 9.5%. Our revenue is 49%, made up of 49% state aid, 44% local taxes, as well as 6% appropriated fund balance and reserves, and 1% made up of miscellaneous revenues. The budget at a glance shows the budget in three different categories: the administrative, capital, and program. The administrative expenses are increasing 15.33%, capital expenses are increasing 15.43%, and program expenses are decreasing by 1.44%. The main reason for the increase in administrative costs is due to an increase in IT services and maintenance costs. The capital expenses are due to the additional debt, and the program expenses are reducing due to the fact that we are projecting lower special education costs in the 2020-21 school year. In summary, the proposed 2020-21 budget reflects an increase of $340,586 with a 3.2% budget increase from 1920, and this will result in a 3.21% tax increase. Our tax gap proposal gives us an allowable increase of $148,875, which is 3.21%. The district is proposing a 3.21% increase for the $148,875. This slide shows what the projected tax impact would be on a household ranging from $50,000 to $200,000. We did receive two questions leading up to the budget hearing. The first was, will the school be overriding the tax cap this year? And the answer to that is no, the school will not be going over the tax cap in the 2020-2021 school year. There was also a question related to the budget newsletter that was passed out, as why are instruction expenses being reduced by $56,839? Again, the main reason for instructional expenses going down is due to reduction in expenses through BOCES. There's a projected decrease in special education services for the 2020-21 school year. For this, we're not cutting any BOCES services for our students. We're just projecting less students needing these services in the 2020-21 school year. If anybody has any additional questions, please feel free to reach out to me at my email, smcgovney@bhpanthers.org. And just a reminder to everyone that this presentation, as well as the slides, will be posted on the district's website.
The budget proposition reads, resolve that the Board of Education of the Belleville-Henderson School District shall be authorized to expend the sum set forth in the budget for the 2020-2021 school year in the total amount of $10,989,021. And to assess and levy upon the taxable property of the district the necessary tax therefor. For Board of Education seats, there is one vacant seat for the Board of Education. Currently, the seat is held by Adam Miner. The term for the seat on the Board of Education is 5 years. Adam Miner is running for re-election. We'd like to remind you to remember to vote with the absentee ballots that were sent to you. These must be received again by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. On behalf of the Board of Education, this concludes the 2020-2021 budget hearing. Thank you.
Chris Schaefer saying when the board is ready for the meeting, they can, I guess we unmute our microphones and turn on our cameras.
Yep.
Your cameras on,
and I guess you need to. Do you need to unmute yourself or not?
Yeah, unmute. You're talking.
Yeah, but not on your computer.
Not the volume on the computer.
There's two different types of mute. There's mute your microphone, and there's mute your speaker.
Oh,
jeez. Bottom left hand corner, quick.
Turn your that on.
We should be good.
It's a test. Is that on? Is that up or on?
No. It's, oh, that's not.
No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I forgot how to do this.
Okay, you're good. Better view.
You good with that?
You're good with that? Rod, you good?
Keep smiling, Rog.
All right, so we know what's going on with Sally.
Okay. Sorry about that. This is Chris Schaefer with MORIC. I just wanted to let you guys know that I've made Sally the host for the meeting. So she has the ability to control things like the recording and everything now for the session. Whenever you're ready.
Sally?
Yep, the good Sally.
This time I'd like to call the June 1st, 2020 meeting to order at 7:01 p.m. If we could all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic from which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We have seven of the seven board members in person conducting our meeting in the library. Also through this meeting platform, as well as our district clerk, Sally Cole, our superintendent, Jane Collins, and our business manager, Stephen McGovney. Joining us remotely from home, because we have hit our capacity of 10, is our principal, Scott Story, and I do not believe Ashley Barnhart-Berto has joined us tonight. So we have Scott zooming in. We will now proceed to the agenda. I'd entertain a motion to accept the agenda as presented.
Second.
I have a motion made by Adam Miner, and I have a second by Kristen Vaughn to accept the agenda as presented. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. I'll now turn it over to a presentation of the evening, District Clerk Cole.
Thank you, JW. As you are all aware, all voting for the June 9th budget vote and election will take place by absentee ballots only. We are following the governor's executive order 202.26, as well as advice for clarification of the executive order from NISBA and Gercio and Gercio, our school attorneys. Absentee ballots were mailed out Friday, May 22nd. Ballots were mailed with an addressed and postage paid envelopes. Ballots were must be received in my office by Tuesday, June 9th by 5 p.m. in order to be counted. We have procedures in place for the collection, receiving of the ballots, and opening the outside return envelope and the recording of each envelope that we receive. The inside envelope, which is the oath envelope, with the ballot that is enclosed will not be opened and counted until June 9th, which is Tuesday, and the counting will begin at 5:01 p.m. The election inspectors and myself will open the oath envelopes and count the ballots. Under advisement of Gercio and Gercio, schools are required to live stream the opening of the oath absentee ballot envelopes. And once we have that set up, a link will be placed on our website. Any questions?
Any questions for Sally? Seeing none, thank you for tackling that. I know it was not an easy feat, and we still have more to accomplish, but we are confident you will. So thank you, Sally. The calendar of events, which remains the same as our previous two agendas, but it does highlight and identify our community food banks. Calendar of events, any additions or corrections to that? Community of caring, I do believe you have some.
I need to report on the passing of Lorraine Stanek. She is Colleen Ballinger's grandmother. Also on the passing of Patricia Burdick. She is Mike Burdick's mother. Mike Burdick is our basketball coach. And also Carolyn Towner, who is a lifelong resident of Ellisburg, just recently passed away.
I'd like to move on to the consent agenda as presented. Can I entertain a motion?
I'll move it.
It's been moved by David Bartlett. Moved by David Bartlett and seconded by Roger Eastman. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Personnel, sick leave bank request by Sally Clybor. I just want to know if there's some question at Sally Clybor through the whole resolution. I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
Seconded by Roger. Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Adjusting this academic year calendar 2019-2020 to clean up some of the executive orders that the governor has done and for us to meet the academic calendar. Is there a motion? Moved by Adam, seconded by Roger. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Permission to sign with the BHTA. Which is the Teachers Association Memorandum of Agreement. Is there a motion?
Second.
Moved by Roger, seconded by Kristen. This is the contract that Adam and I worked on the last, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months with Jane and our administration. This is the new teacher's contract taking us through 2025. Any discussion? Any discussion? My only comment is I appreciate working with the union
It was very cordial, and that was a good process. All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Permission for the superintendent to sign Omni Services Agreement. Move it. Moved by Dave. Seconded by Roger. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Okay, let Sally get caught up. Good. Cooperative bidding with Madison Oneida Bosse's. Moved by Adam. Seconded by Tony. Any discussion? This is procedural. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Resolution to establish an employee benefit reserve fund. Entertain a motion. Moved by Adam. Seconded by Kristen. This was a call I received. This is basically, in short, if we anticipate Steve going to retire in August, and we know Steve has 65 sick days, we are going to be responsible to buy back, and it's going to cost us $10,000. We can move the $10,000 into that reserve fund ahead of time, which helps with budgeting purposes, and what our that number that we, the auditors have recommended, we try to get down. We can work on doing that, and we can achieve this knowing that's an expense coming in August. So it's a good tool, similar to like a capital reserve. That's in layman's terms, and I misspoke speak. Am I good? Any discussion on that? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. That motion is carried. That resolution is carried 7-0. Established retirement contribution reserve fund, similar to what I just spoke to, another reserve fund. They'll tuck away expenses we are going to incur. That's been moved by Kristen. It's been seconded by Tony. Any discussion? Any discussion?
Thank you.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. Moving along on to resolution number 9, a budget transfer to fill the funds we just created. Moved by Kristen.
Second.
Seconded by Dave. We'll just note we're putting $200,000 into a capital reserve too. Okay. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion is carried 7-0. Create the Panther Strong Scholarship for class of 2020.
Move it.
We've got a motion by Adam and a second by Mr. Barney. Is there any discussion? Anybody have any questions? We know what's going on here. Short one sentence. Can you give us a one sentence?
So the scholarship was established to distribute to the 2020 senior class, basically the remaining funds that they raised for their prom and for their senior trip. So we discussed this with our auditor as well as our attorney. This is an allowable thing that the board can approve, that the students can create with the extra classroom activity fund, as long as the students voted in favor of it, which they did.
Everyone will be on the same page, so we're clear. Any discussion on that?
Are all kids getting something?
Okay, any other discussion? I want to cut anybody short. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion is carried 7-0. We're going to jump right into administrative reports. There are a few BOCE meeting minutes attached for your reading as enclosures. So I think at this time we're going to let Scott zoom in remotely, and he is going to give us an update on the graduation committee. So Scott, good to see you from afar. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to attempt to share my screen. And at this time, you should see a PowerPoint labeled graduation 2020. Somebody just give me a thumbs up. Okay, great. It's a short slide. show. It's kind of to the point. We created a committee called the GPAC. And the goal of the GPAC committee was to provide advisement for the 2020 Belleville Henderson High School graduation ceremony. We did our best to cover all stakeholders in the district. So you can see administration. You'll be able to see the class advisor. You can see some teachers, the school counselor and nurse. We had some parents and a Board of Education member, and the five asset officers were also on the committee. The committee met twice for about an hour and 15 minutes each time, and we did come up with this plan. During the week of June 15th to June 19th, students will have scheduled appointments to receive their awards and diplomas. The appointment will be held either in the bus circle on a portable stage or at the student's home on a portable stage. Students will wear their caps and gowns, have their name announced as it would be if we're in the auditorium on the stage. They'll walk across the stage to receive their awards and diplomas, and they will be video recorded with parent permission. The details for June 28th are still in progress, but the video of the graduation ceremony that's in progress, so we're working on this one, will be shown at the school parking lot on the running board trucks. Students and parents would remain in their vehicles with the windows down to watch and listen to the graduation ceremony being played on the sides of the running board trucks. Our original idea was to play the video at a drive-in theater. Unfortunately, that idea was declined by the theater due to movie rights that they already have contractually. And we do look forward to completing these plans and providing our students with recognition they deserve. But we also are going to still follow all health and safety requirements as outlined by the state and local health officials.
Thank you, Mr. Story, for your report. And I also, obviously all of us received a lot of concerned individuals about this, rightfully so, and to develop a plan. So I commend that we developed a committee that included the students, the teachers, and parents. And I'm also glad that we had a board member on there as well. So thank you, Scott, for your report. I'll now entertain questions for you, Scott.
Yep.
Like if anyone does have questions, which I think there might be a couple, I'd like to call on you so you could turn your thing on and speak to Scott directly, then give a minute for Scott to respond. Is there any questions for Scott? Kristen, do you have anything you'd like to add or anything? Seeing how even you were on the committee, so what's the committee's overall feeling? Everyone has satisfied with the work that's been done, or people are happy with what we've come to?
As far as I know, I think they kind of decided the smaller group of people to finish out the finer details of it, but yeah.
All right, are there any questions for Scott? Okay, thank you, Scott. We will now switch gears to an in-person presentation by Mr. McGovney. Do we have a handout from you, Steve, that we should be referring to?
Do not, only because there is one handout. It's the memo from Guercio and Guercio regarding the extra classroom activity funds. So really, it's just stating their recommendation and their opinion.
Okay.
On a previous matter that we just discussed. And for your information, I included the minutes from the extra classroom activity fund meeting. Yep. And in addition to that, we did have a meeting on the SOD with Edge Civil, Dave Kiblin, Bob, the town, and M&T Trucking. And from there, we established that we will be using two different water sources. We'll be utilizing the town water as well as M&T Trucking. M&T stated that they could provide us up to two truck pulls of water each day if it came to that point where we needed it and weren't getting enough rain on the field. We are going to be able to draw off the hydrant either mid-afternoon or in the evening. This is always subject to change based on the town's needs. We are going to be renting a storage tank for the summer in order to utilize the water from M&T Trucking. In addition to that, from the meeting, Bob and the representative from Edge Civil believe that the field has fully taken to the soil. They're very happy with the progress the field has made so far. If you do look out to the field and you see that there are some white flags that are sitting out there, those are just from a few creases from laying down the sod. Those are being filled in and seeded to fix that issue. But right now, I feel like we have a pretty good plan in place. We're still going to be able to utilize capital funds for some of those utilities, as well as the rental of the holding tank. Anybody have any questions or concerns? We're going to try to get it close to the hydrant that's outside in the back. The exact location, I don't think, is fully set. Dave and Bob are working on that. But without that, we won't be able to utilize the water transported to us. In addition, we can pull off the hydrant and fill the tank as well in the evening if we needed to water during the day. So we're trying to make sure we have all of our bases covered in the situation. So if we do run into a dry spell this summer, we're not left without any water.
Good question. Other questions or thoughts? You come up with a good plan, so that's good. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to everyone else. Okay.
Okay. The next kicker will be going to get to play ball sport.
Just had to like the move. We will now jump into Superintendent Collins.
Hey, thank you. I'm going to report on elementary summer school, our food service program, and the reopening of school in September. We're going forward with planning a K-8 elementary summer school. We surveyed parents and received 200 responses back from them about what type of program when they support their children participating in. Less than 40 parents, we received 200 responses so far. Less than 40 parents were interested in the virtual program. Approximately 60 of the 200 stated that they would be interested in having students practice skill building through our software in two programs called Freckle and Castle Learning. So we're going to develop that. We'll also develop the virtual. Packets for summer school learning activities. There wasn't some interest in that model. And so teachers, as they come in to clean their rooms, they will be developing packets to send home with students that they feel would appreciate that. Mrs. Barnhart Berto will oversee the summer school, and she will need a few support staff to assist with that. At the June 9th board meeting, we will ask for the board to approve appointments. We will be seeing who's interested in teaching the virtual program. There were some parents that didn't respond, so the teachers of those parents will send the survey out again. So the program right now looks like a virtual program with approximately 4 teachers to do that. A skill building program with 2 softwares, Castle Learning and Freckle. Packets for students to do over the summer to develop and continue their skill building. And possibly a book program where it's one book for one family, it's called, where we would provide the family with the book, and then as a family, they could read the book and do some activities to promote reading. The summer school would run from July 6th to August 6th. So we're working on that. Food service program, it's unclear what the status of the breakfast and lunch program will be after June 16th. We're waiting on the governor to clarify a statement he made about feeding the families of essential workers throughout the summer. It has been suggested that if we do not feed or have a summer food service program, that we make sure our families are aware of our food pantries. We're studying bringing the food pantry to Belleville Henderson Cafeteria. Let's move on to the, any question about either of those programs before we move on? Of the first 200 surveys that came back, less than 40. Yeah. In the virtual. But then there's this other program where we can work with kids who are motivated to work on software that develop their skills in math and reading. And that's what Mrs. Beebe and another teacher assistant would work with teachers to understand what skills kids need to focus on there. And they wouldn't be enrolled in summer school, but they would be given homebooks and opportunities to use those softwares throughout the summer, which some kids absolutely love. And it's a great skill builder. So we would promote that.
There was one program for the third or fourth grade. It was a spelling one. I think it was just a trial period that ended.
Okay.
And the kids said they can't access that anymore. If that's true or untrue, with Marlo or spelling software for a short period of time, and now they can't utilize it anymore.
Do you know which software it was? Right. You can look into it though.
We'll look into that.
On a trial basis.
Okay.
Now,
okay, but it was one they liked.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Is there a small number of kids that we're dealing with? Is there any way to have any sort of summer school in person that done in small groups?
Somebody's caught it, you think?
No, you'd have to repeat it.
All right. So my question is given the small number of kids at this point interested, is there a way, if done in small groups, you can do any of it in person?
No. Right now, the executive order is that our school's closed for students, and we can't have school here.
Can we do anything off-site, or would all our programs be on-site?
Right now, our programs would be virtual, like in the executive order for schools. Schools are closed, and hopefully by September they will open.
School at the building.
This school in the program. The order for summer school, the executive order specifically states virtual. But Belleville Henderson in the past has done packets for students. And we can provide software opportunities in Chromebooks for students to do that as well. But we can't create gatherings of students and staff, according to the executive order. So we're trying to create these other learning opportunities. So, okay.
Other questions for Jane? Elementary approved. Summer school approved.
I will add one thing about the food pantries. There was a significant grant that Renzi's received from the federal government to be able to distribute food to food pantries. And last week we received 300 boxes unexpectedly of refrigerated dairy products and frozen meats and some vegetables that we were able to distribute throughout the food pantry. And it it was part of this grant that's already happening. And there's great opportunity for more of that to come our way. And we'd like to bring the food pantry here because we had to use our refrigerated areas, our coolers, as well as our freezers to manage that. So we're thinking about if we can bring the pantry here during the summer, then we can create the conditions for it to be in our facility where there's nowhere else that has that capability for 300 boxes of food like that that really needed. We have like 300 families now we are serving here through the food pantry. So we have a committee meeting on Wednesday with the people that have been involved, and we're going to take a look at that. If it can happen, I'll be coming back to the board asking for your approval of building use for that purpose.
Because doesn't one of his executive orders shut down the building?
For what?
For people coming in here.
To use, yeah. It's right now we cannot have our facilities used for other purposes.
We would have to let that expire. For the food pantry to be in here.
What we would have to do is, I'll explore it with our attorneys, but I would think that just like we're distributing food for the food service program, breakfast and lunch, that we would like shift it to that and it would be approved. People wouldn't be coming in. They'd come up in their cars and we'd give them the box of food and they'd leave, just like we've been doing with the other. But that's what that's how we would look at it.
I just didn't know that opened us up then to other building use request forms from July 1st on.
Yeah, I would think I'll look at that too. Great. Moving on. Reopening school in September. BOCES from across the state issued guidance that's called BOCES Guidance Summary, Interim Guidance on Reopening Schools Following COVID-19 Closures. The health and safety officers from the 37 BOCES in New York State developed a 17-page document that schools will use to construct a plan to reopen in September 2020. It was shared with our Health and Safety Committee on Thursday. The committee, the administrators and teachers and staff will be meeting and working together to implement this document. The document follows CDC guidelines for schools. State Education Department for New York State is planning a 2021, is asking, we're going to be sending superintendents a template in June to respond by mid-July that illustrates Belleville Henderson's plan to open in September. The BOCES guidance summary, interim guidance on reopening schools following COVID-19 closures will be referenced for completion of the New York State Education Department document. Education program for 2021 and class lists. People typically would inform children the last day who would be their teacher. Unfortunately, we're not in a position that we can do that this year. Class list should follow parents' responses to a June 10 survey we will send out about next year. Will some parents not send their kids to school due to COVID-19 in September? Will New York State allow schools to provide distance learning for those students that parents keep home? Will New York State Education Department allow schools to conduct virtual classes for pupils who do not return? This is an important piece of our class list planning. Our survey will ask parents these questions to discern who will be coming to school and who will not. Loss of students would impact state aid? Those are all questions that go into planning. Socially distancing in the classroom for 2021. If we can only seat 9 pupils in a classroom due to social distancing, how will we be able to teach all the students in one day? Will we need to institute school every other day to allow us to bring all the students to school? We really need to see what that looks like before we do classless. And if we have parents not sending their children, this also plays into classless assignments. My hope is that New York State Education Department will allow schools to have a mixed program of virtual and socially distancing, distance learning. Social distancing and transportation. Once we understand how many pupils will be in attendance, we can do the classless and then set up transportation. Mr. Gleason's estimation is that we can space or can place 12 pupils on a 66 passenger bus. And then there's how will this look in high school? High school will have a number of different academic challenges. The master schedule will be very interesting to design. Summary of planning in the educational program for 2021. There are a number of issues we need to solve or resolve before we plan 2021 classless and the 7 through 12 master schedule. We'll begin with our parents and their position on sending students to school. Are there any questions?
Is it 100% that we are not going to come back as normal?
I think there's going to be a transition time. People talk about a new normal. I think it goes back to health and safety. Everything goes back to health and safety. And right now, if you look at how that is looking in the country, it starts with the Center for Disease Control and the protocols they're setting up, and then the New York State Health Department and the protocols they follow that come down to the county, which is part of our Jefferson County Public Health Department. And from there, then you have executive orders from the president in terms of phases. You know, you heard about the 4 phases. We're the 4th phase for a reason. And so everything goes back to where are we with the health in this area? And then from there, and what we know right now is the guidance is looking like socially distant schooling, not what we looked like in February and January and December of 2019. So from there, we're expected to create a plan. Now, if they can get this under control with vaccinations and procedures, that's another hole that maybe we could go back. But right now, this is what we have to deal with in our planning.
When does everybody expect this document that I explained
is being then they're creating templates that will come to us from the 37 BOCES work. And then those templates will be what we will report to be our plan. And then after we've worked on that through the month of June, at some point in time, the State Education Department is going to send us a report to take the information we've been working on and give it to them by, say, mid-July. Then they will look at that and they will, like, say, good job, or fix this and fix that. So there's a lot of work to be done this summer. And
that's the only reason I asked the question.
That's the only reason I asked the question is
the governor has not really been great at going by changing things.
I think what I have heard from the different forums that I've been in is that not every place in the state is going to look the same. We have one area of the state that could be enclosure and other areas that could be socially distancing. So it's just like you see the regions set up that the state has done. Our region could be open, in downstate it could be closed. It all depends on how people follow the guidance.
How can the rural areas transport children six at a time? It's just not possible. One, we don't have drivers. We don't have the capital. We don't have enough buses. I mean, how can we, and look how much area we have to cover. And this is nothing compared to, you know, other rural schools.
I think.
I don't see transporting six children.
No, it's
logistic, or 12.
Yeah.
Logistically.
I think what we thought is that we'd be doing multiple runs. To bring kids, if it's every other day, you're bringing 50% in. So it's multiple runs to get them here, and maybe a school day for this group of kids starts here and ends here, and the next group starts a little bit later and ends a little bit later. That's the kind of thinking we have to do. We have to think about master schedule and how we are going to get everybody's program in. So it's going to be
different. Our expectation is to open up as close to regular as possible.
One, we don't have
a plan for guidelines and making plans.
We don't have
our expectation would be to open the door as close as possible.
How can we and
hold the commission as possible?
Area we
have to kind of piggyback on what Adam was saying. I think we see a lot of time making a real intricate plan.
Cool.
What will be interesting is to see what parents are going to do.
If possible to send home on that survey on the 10th, a question about transportation, it will say, you know, like for instance, my family, we live in a mile from, it's going to save a whole other bus run for both here on the same day. Right? We're more than willing to bring both of them here on the same day. Right, so that would, to me, would be a question that if we're going to send a survey out asking about it, we should ask parents, at the risk of being a crazy schedule, are you willing to transport your kids if we line everything up so they're the same day, same time? Willing and able are two different things.
That's a very good question to ask in the survey.
Right, they're going to save us a whole bus line.
There might be some.
Right, but both parents are out of house. Home.
There might be some.
But that's what I mean. That's why you ask the question.
That's what I mean. That's
why you can schedule around that.
One of my biggest concerns with the whole virtual thing. So even if they can come into the classroom,
stay twice a week,
and the other 3 days are virtual.
I feel like a lot of kids
are going to be left behind in their life.
Just an example.
My oldest daughter is a senior. She had a calc test.
She's been on that test
for over 5 hours.
She knows she didn't do well.
I would have done better had you been in class. I'm not as worried about her because she's already accepted college. But those other kids that are, you know, have to worry about college and everything else.
Right. You know what?
Right.
Already hard enough now. How would
you know
we
what
get extra help for
it's already hard enough now. How would we get extra help for those kids who are really struggling? For those
kids
who are on, I don't even know how this.
The other days, parents are back to work. Everything's kind of back normal.
The other days, parents are back to work. Everything's kind of back to normal that way. But those kids aren't able to go to
school. They have to go to a daycare center. So
if they have to go to a daycare center, that daycare center is supposed to be, you know, now I just see a nightmare happening. How they're going to be able to, you know, handle that type of stuff too. When you have a kid at school back here at this time. And I don't know.
Yeah. There's that's all part of it too.
Yeah.
Maybe our survey should include to get a feel for our taxpayers if they'd be interested in doing our own. Regardless of the state aid and open up as normal.
Double my taxes.
Pulling an able or two different things sometimes. This is a very good question.
Maybe we would drop interest from around the state and attendance would grow. Never know.
There might be some, like, there might be some parents.
Ask the question, because then you could schedule around that.
I don't know one of my biggest concerns is this. It's an interesting question.
Well, the question would become how many kids do you want to lose?
Because they don't want the risk.
That's the other part of it.
That's the other part.
The ones that are willing to make the risk.
The
ones that are not willing to take the risk.
I would
tell me that number is probably honestly more than that.
Crazy to talk about our own school on the other way.
Might as well explore the other street.
I feel like we're going on as far as one way as possible for the absolute worst case scenario from a logistics standpoint.
So we might as well explore
the other end of the spectrum. Look at both sides. And see what the interest is. And hope that we can open up as close as our older normal as possible. Follow the guidelines and what goes on.
It's going to be an interesting process. I mean, I haven't even begun to talk about the hygiene, the disinfectant protocols.
Speaking of that, disinfectant, how many
chemicals are the kids going to be exposed to with how many times you have to do that?
The disinfectants that we're using are hospital grade that have been in hospitals, you know, tested, proven, so on and so forth. But we've also been talking about additional equipment in each classroom for air purifying. So every classroom has their own air purifier. And that would manage some of that, and it'd manage the other too. So.
Other discussion? Well, let's recap. I've heard a couple ideas of what's going on in the survey. Today, I have a survey about summer school. Two ideas presented, one about transportation that Adam presented, one about the count. We're on the same page. The survey goes out.
June 10th survey was more dealing with September and coming back.
It's like sending their kids here.
Yeah, that's September
4th.
Yeah.
Right. Survey about summer school.
Yeah.
It was June 10th.
what Kyle presented. We're all on the same page. So when the board goes out, I understand what it says.
We will have to include what Kyle presented.
I'd want to make sure that we get some attorney insight on that one, just because I don't. We've got a board meeting on the 9th. We could talk about. I can research it between now and the 9th.
We wanted to include. We want to include what Kyle was presented. How do we craft that?
We could see how the parents respond to how many are not going to send their kids, period. For a socially distanced model, we could look at that.
Or ask how many
Only that we'll need an executive session.
We are going to enter
but to the same. We're not going to get political, but at the same time, the CDC, which President Trump has released, Mike Pence's plan, all public schools are safe. So, you know, I don't know. I think we're on the same page. Anybody wants to add in? Jane, do you have anything else to report on? Yep, so we are going to enter an executive session.
Not aware of any. Are you?
Not aware of that either. We are asking all of the spring coaches to put together a training plan for all the students for the summer. So that is one thing that we are asking them to do.
I had a concern that people in the room speak before.
It's a good question. Could you put that in back and report at some point to Roger's question? I had a concern, and maybe some people in the room can speak more to it with children in the elementary, about submitting videos for gym and music and those types of activities, you know, outside of what you would call your traditional learning model. Mr. Story can speak to it or research it, but I want to make sure these are appropriate and that our students are comfortable doing what they're doing.
And some people that are not done those.
That's what I've heard, so you can speak up and share what you've heard. Maybe not personally, I don't know if you want to get into that.
I do know Mr. Story worked on that. If he's...
Has it been taken care of?
Yes. Yes. He addressed that specifically.
Scott, can you do anything about it?
On my end, I'm having a hard time because everything's echoey. So I don't know exactly who said what, but I think I heard my name.
Can you hear me clear, Scott?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The question and the concern was brought up about requiring students to video themselves, whether it be for a physical education task, that came in, and as well as music. The concerns were coming in that they've got to record something outside of like the traditional, you know, math or English lesson. And I know that what I'm hearing, and I know a couple board members could speak to it more so, that the students or the parents weren't comfortable with that type of platform or didn't feel it was appropriate. And as we were talking about this, Jane said that you had potentially resolved this and may have an update for us.
Yep. Sometimes you think you resolve things and it's not resolved, but yes, I anticipate it resolved. The two different specials, one of them had already contacted the students and parents that it was optional. And then the other one has been basically informed that it's not, can't require video or photos. Not just videos, but photos either. And examples were provided for how students could demonstrate learning without having to post a video or photo.
Thank you, Scott. And then there was another concern along those lines. I guess progress reports went home. And they're getting, students are failing, right? So what I'm hearing, what people are saying,
yep,
failing certain subjects. How can that be?
The letters that went home were the same letters we sent home about this time of year. And those letters basically take the quarters, the grades from the quarters the students have completed, and then determine that students need to receive a certain grade in order to pass. So I'll give a brief example. We have grades for the first two quarters, and let's say it totaled 130. They may need a 66 in order to receive course credit. So those students weren't told they're failing, but were told that they needed to make sure the fourth quarter is a passing grade in order to pass the course. So it's a, it was a calculation. We do it each year when there's summer school being held at Watertown. We try to send the, those same letters home prior to the end of the year so students can, I guess, successfully get a credit by completing the last 2 to 3 weeks of school strong, in a strong manner, so that they don't need to attend like a Watertown summer school, or so that they are not, so that they still receive course credit. So those letters were sent home. You know, I fielded a lot of calls myself today and emails, and sometimes you think, you know, this is open communication and this is what we've done, and you know, we've got a hold of this, and then you realize that it was confusing, and part of it was because of the online learning situation we're in. So I encouraged everybody to continue to contact me, and I will help explain that their student is not nearly in jeopardy as they think they are. It was just taking a mathematical equation and determining mathematically where they stand versus in actuality based on the online learning. So that's what happened with that.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Are there any other Board of Education questions for any administration, for research, or outside of what we talked about tonight? Okay, seeing none, I'm gonna give, we're gonna take a 3 minute intermission just so our team can get us logistically set up for an executive session. But before we do that, I'd like to entertain a motion to enter executive session at 8:03. Has been moved by Kristen and seconded by Roger. And it's going to be discussed things that I outlined before. All in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carried, 7-0. Thank you to everyone who did join us. We hope you all stay safe and healthy and enjoy the nice weather we finally have gotten. Scott, I guess we're going to have to boot you off, I understand. Or is Scott going to be able to stay?
I don't think so, because he's not an attendee. He's part of.
So, Scott, if you can hear me, keep up your work. And keep us in the loop on graduation. Okay, at this time, I'd like to declare open session at 8:31 p.m. Is there anything else to come before the meeting? I appreciate everyone showing up, following the guidelines. Hope you all have a good rest of your week. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment at 8:32 p.m. That's been moved and long overdue from David Bartlett and seconded by Roger. Any discussion? All in favor, aye. Motion carried. This meeting is adjourned.